cheap gas down in Blaine. And I took out my Nexus card and I looked at the picture and I thought, wow, number one, I was a chubby monkey back there when I first got that picture taken. Number two, I had a bouffant hairdo. Like, I had a whole lot more hair there. And so, yeah, so it's funny when you have your before and after shot, right? Pastor Ralph and Sue, wherever you are, Susan, I love you guys so much. I would say this, you know, on live camera, you are my favorite credential holders in the entire POC. Little under sincere on that one. No, I just love you folks. And you know what? It's so neat to come home. Like this, honestly, when I come to Sydney, something comes over me and I just feel like I'm home. I do. I said that to Brenda last night. I have some of my oldest friends sitting right there. Bob and Darlene were in our church, in my Foursquare church in Powell River when I got saved as a 17-year-old. So there, you know, right there. And then I have my newest friend here, Nora. We're sitting having dinner last night, and Nora's sitting at the table beside us with her son. And so we just met her, just love her to bits. She's a great lady. And so I got my oldest friends, my newest friends, and all of you in between. Like, it's just great to be here. And it's a privilege. Honestly, it's a privilege. Thank you for introducing me. And, you know, like, I have a big title, small ego. I am no one special. Like, I am just a person answering a call that God placed on my life. Which all started here in Duncan, actually, where I first started ministry in 1986. You remember that, you know? So it was people from our church there. And since that time to this time, I've been a servant of the church, and I've been trying to promote and advance the church, the cause and the purposes of Christ. And you're part of that picture. So glad to hear the initiatives you're putting forward in terms of the youth initiatives and the young adult initiatives and the Grow Track. Friends, when we start doing all of this stuff, God just commands his blessing to that. And you see people flourish in their giftings. You're not out of God's army yet. I don't care if you're 16 or 66. Like, I just turned 55 October 7th, okay? So I came out of the leadership seminar yesterday in Nanaimo, and right across the church from Generations Church is this sign that says Freedom 55 Financial. I took that as a prophetic word. Yeah. I'm thinking, Freedom 55? I'm 55. I get a senior's discount at the White Spot now, you know? And Brenda's 54, so she can't come with me. You know, she pays full price. I don't care. And she buys her own. I'm just kidding. But, you know, I'm thinking 55 and freedom, that's a long ways away because I pastored mostly small churches and I don't have a pension plan. So I'm going to be 50. No, I'm going to be 85 and free. You know, Freedom 85. So, yeah. Anyway, so nice to be with you. Thank you for the warm welcome, all the nice hugs and great times. I have such good memories of our church, of this church. Even when we did the family retreat, the leaders on Theatres Island, I think it was. It was just so much fun to be with you guys. And so, thanks for embracing us. This morning, I have an admission to make. Again, I, as our tech crew will identify, had a technology meltdown on my way from Nanaimo to Sydney. In fact, we were sitting at the table and I'm trying to organize my whole life here because the sermon I had prepared for today is melting down into cyberspace somewhere, all right? So that one is not going to work for today. It just will not call up on my it's somewhere out there. Some people are enjoying it. But you people won't enjoy it because I don't have any notes for it. So I am going to preach a message that I hope will be edifying to you. And it actually really connects with the song you sang this morning, You Say, that song. And I don't know if I can prep you, but can we close with that song? That is a powerful song. You say I belong. I belong. In fact, I drove up to this church this morning and on your sign it says you belong. You know, and what I'm going to talk about this morning is community, is Christ's body. It's about belonging. It's about being members of a body that's living, not buried in a grave in Israel, but alive and well, present here. Jesus, do you believe that Jesus is here by his Spirit? He is. He's listening to you right now. I'm speaking right now, so you're hearing my audible voice, but the Spirit of God will speak to you too if you allow him to. And he'll speak to that inner core of your body, your being, and you'll get something different out of this message than perhaps what I will say. So let's invite him to just speak to us today. Father, as we look at text that's in the Bible, we pray that you would then take this preparation that I've made and anoint it and use it to speak to us in a powerful, powerful way. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So if you reach down in the seat in front of you, or if you brought your Bibles electronically on your phone or a hard copy, the Bible in front of you, page 1636 is where you'll find my text. Page 1636. So it's toward the back of the Bible, 1636, a book that was authored by a man named Paul, and he wrote to a church in Corinth, which is an ancient city in ancient Asia Minor. Paul was apostolic in nature. If that's a foreign word to you, if you're new in church, what that means is that he had a missionary heart. An apostle in the early days was one that was sent. He didn't stay home, or she didn't stay home. He was sent. So page 1636 is the letter that he writes. It's the 12th chapter of a letter that he writes to a church that is in this very troubled area of Corinth. Lots of godlessness, lots of idolatry, sexual stuff going on. Kind of sounds like our world today, doesn't it? Kind of, you turn on the TV and you kind of get all of this sexuality and all of this confusion and weirdness that's going on. You think about the world in the political tensions we're facing. We just came through an election that just showed us how divided our country really is. You look south of the border, you realize Democrats and Republicans are, Democrats and Republicans are divided. You look at the world today and you see tensions in Hong Kong, you see tensions in other parts of the world. I turned on the news last night when we got into our hotel room, and like news story after news story is about these riots that are happening and, tensions and people protesting against the government in South America. And it's just weird, right? And so that's the kind of world that we pull this text out of, because that's what was going on kind of in Corinth. And Paul writes this letter, and he goes, he's actually talking about you and me and how we become members of, not members in the formal sense, but where we belong to the body of Christ, which is the church, which is you and I. How do we actually belong to each other? So 1 Corinthians 12. Verse 12, it says, and I'm going to read out of the Living Translation. I hope it comes up on the board. Did we actually manage to do that, or did it go into cyberspace too? It's gone? Okay, so we're going to have to do this without PowerPoint. Is it not working? Is it gone? It's not working. We're going to do this old school, folks. Just like Jesus did. No, Jesus didn't use PowerPoint. I'm not going to use PowerPoint this morning. So just follow along as best you can. By the way, if you want the notes to this, just ask and I'll give them to Pastor Ralph and he can send them out to you by email. Okay. Okay, this is what it says in the New Living Translation. A little bit easier to understand from some translations, but not competing with any others. The human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews, some are Gentiles, some are slaves, some are free. But we have all been baptized into one body by one Spirit, capital S Spirit, and we share the same Spirit. Yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. If the foot says, I'm not part of the body because I am not the hand, does that make it any less part of the body? Obviously, the rhetorical answer there is no, of course not. And if the ear says, I am not part of the body because I'm not the eye, would that make it any less part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? Isn't that interesting, We'd have really good eyesight, but we'd be deaf, right? The functionality of the body is highlighted by Paul. If your whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? We wouldn't. we'd miss out on a lot of great things. Like that bakery I bought my wife a cinnamon bun this morning from. It's right across from the hotel. Honestly, if you live in Sydney, you are blessed. Oh, you people realize this is paradise, right? Like, it's a local call to heaven from here. Like, unbelievable. Yeah. Anyways, I'm off topic here. Okay, let me get back on track. In fact, some parts of the body that seem weakest are the least important and are actually the most necessary. And the parts we regard as less honorable are those we clothe with the greatest care. So if we carefully protect those parts that should not be seen, while the more honorable parts do not require this special care. So God has put the body together such that extra honor and care are given to those parts that have less dignity. This makes for harmony among the members, so that all the members care for each other. This sentence should leap off the page for you, because Ken Russell is no more important than anybody else in this room. And we all have a specific function to make the body of Christ, the universal church of Christ, functional, the best it can be in a community that needs to hear about Jesus. So then he goes on in verse 26, if one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. And if one part is honored, all the parts are glad. All of you together are Christ's body, and each of you are a part of it. Isn't that a great passage? So I'm going to unpack that for you a little bit, put some steak sauce on the meat, and give you renditions of my kind of take on this passage. And I want you to know that the body is constantly changing. Christ's body. I'm thinking about the church. But if you think about it physically, my body is completely changing, right? I look in the mirror and I think, wow, man, what happened to that 16-year-old with the big pipes, you know, that attracted this beautiful woman in Powell River and married her 36 years ago? Yeah, 36 years. 4 years dating, 36 years married. So 40 years ago, we met. I was 15 years old, you know. And I look at that before, and I look at this after, and I go, oh boy, this is terrible. What is happening here? Like, this is not good. I'm waiting for my new body in heaven. You know, I've been promised that in Scripture. So I already put my order in. I'm going to have a body somewhere in the middle of Tom Cruise and Arnold Schwarzenegger. Okay, I got that order in, so you can't have that body up there, all right? So you got a different order, all right? But I'm looking at this, and I'm thinking, this is not, you know, it's not working the same way it used to work. A couple of Christmases ago, I hope I haven't shared this story in this church before, but forgive me if you've heard it. A couple of Christmases ago, I was suffering with a whole lot of back pain, lower back pain. I was in a car accident, different things like that. So I said to all my kids, two of them, all my kids. Sounds like I have 12, you know, two kids, two son-in-laws. I said to them, don't give Dad any presents this Christmas. Just give me money because I'd like to buy one of those inversion tables. Have you seen those? I picked one of those out at Costco, and I thought, I'm going to pick one of those up because you get to see all these commercials and people with lower back pain, you know, like they work. So anyways, Brenda goes to me, Ken, read the instructions. And I said to her, like every good man, who needs instructions? I'm a man. I don't need instructions. I can do this in my sleep. Do I have a witness? Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, all you men. Okay. So anyways, Christmas comes, I get the money, I go down to Costco, I buy the inversion table, Boxing Day, it wasn't Boxing Day, it was about the 27th or 8th. I'm putting the table together, no instructions, right? So I finally get this thing together as best I can, and I'm about to use it for the first time, and Brenda is leaving the house. She's actually leaving. Her last words to me is, read the instructions, Ken. And I took the instructions and I threw them away. And I got on this inversion table, buckled my ankles in, and off I said to myself, I'm Pakistani. Like, if Batman can hang upside down, so can I. Like, I've been through a war between India and Pakistan. I can do this. So there I am. Brenda's gone. No one else in the house. I'm hanging upside down. What I had failed to understand was that it says, Don't You're having a good time with this illustration because you probably know where it's going. It says, don't hang upside down for intervals longer than 5 minutes. It's more like you should do 45 angles. But I'm like right there. I'm hanging like a bat, you know, in a cave. And 20 minutes go by and I'm feeling this warmth rushing up my body, or actually down my body, right? And what I can't see is how red my complexion is getting. So finally, with all the blood heading to my head, I'm thinking, oh, wow, this is like I'm taking a trip and I haven't left the farm yet. You know, like it's I'm getting dizzy. So no one's home, and I tried to make myself, you know, back upright again. I couldn't do it. I lost all strength in my body. I was trying. So only by the grace of God was I able to put myself back together just before Brenda came back in the house. You know? So I'm like, I'm just dizzy, and I unbuckled my feet, got off this table, and I fell straight forward onto my face, and then I tried to make it down the staircase, and I couldn't do it. I kind of rolled down the stairs of our house to Brenda's feet where she was standing at the bottom of the, and she had this look of disdain on her face. You idiot, she says. You didn't read the instructions, did you? No. So I decided at that moment, because what had happened is I actually pinched my nerve worse from hanging upside down. So when I got better, I took the whole table apart, put it all back in the box, wrapped it all back up, and took it back to Costco. And I got to the lineup where you return stuff, and the guy looks at me and goes, reason for return? They go, I fell over. I was dizzy. He goes, we get a lot of you guys here. Did you read the instructions? No. He goes, what did your wife say? She called me an idiot. Yeah, mine too, he said. Do you want cash or credit? So I returned the table. Friends, our bodies are an example of this text here. The Bible uses many metaphors about the body, the church, but the army of God, the family of God, the vineyard of God. I mean, there's lots of different kinds of illustrations, metaphors that Paul uses. Here he uses this brilliant illustration to say, each one of you is so important to this. You know, why do we have this? This is not about the building. This is not about the seats you're sitting in. This is not about the programs. Church is not about any of that. It's about you. You are the people, the members of Christ's body that are to make a significant difference in Sydney, in the South Victoria, on the Saanich Peninsula. That's why we exist. So the picture that God wants to give us here, the picture of the church, is a body. And in that, he says, there are many parts, but a single DNA. There are many members and different functions that all of us have, but we have a common identity. For those of you who are in the medical profession, nurses, doctors, others who are here, will know what DNA stands for. I don't know. It's diabol something, nucleus something. Okay? That's my best attempt as a theologian. Okay? That's the DNA is what makes you unique and distinct. It identifies you. Let me give you a practical example. If you were to pluck one of the remaining hairs off my head and take it to Australia, they could do a DNA test on that hair and tell you that it belongs to a body in Sydney, okay, who lives in Langley. Isn't that amazing? Because you have uniqueness about your body. Every cell of your body is different and unique and has a purpose. And that's what the body of Christ is like. Many parts, all uniquely gifted. You can sing well. You can play instruments. You do youth ministry. You have different parts to play. And you're so needed here because none of us should just come to church and warm a seat. Okay? Because that's not the intention of the body. Not to warm a seat on a Sunday morning between 10:30 and noon. That's not the purpose. The purpose is to use what God has given you to contribute to the body. Otherwise, we'd all be eyes and we couldn't hear anything. Otherwise, we'd all be noses and we couldn't see anything, okay? So you bring to this body a special and unique gifting. The way you get here into this body is by a decision you make. a decision to receive Christ, to make him Lord and Savior of your life. I did it when I was 17 years old. And then I professed Christ in the waters of baptism. If you haven't been baptized in water, I'd encourage you to give that some thought. Because it's a public confession of something you do internally that makes you part of this body, the body of Christ. You know, I had trouble getting baptized. I got baptized at Evangel Church in Powell River. Do you know what the one objection I had to water baptism was? I thought, what would my hair look like when it got all wet? All of this doesn't just happen naturally, friends. This takes time, all right? And I thought, all that hairspray is just going to clog up the drains, you know? So that was my biggest objection. But when I was a late teen, I got baptized in water. I'm actually the worst example of a pastor when it comes to baptisms, you know? I've lost people in the waters of baptism. Did you know that? I think I shared that here once. Like, I baptized a lady in the river, the Vedder River. She went into the river and down the river. I bet that's never happened to Pastor Ralph Juthman. Like, he holds on to those guys, you know? Yeah. I've had weird experiences in baptism tanks, but, you know, hey. So, what's that? She was, but she was swearing when she came out of the water. No, wait, I think she was speaking in tongues. Yeah. She was mad at me. Yeah. Hold on to me! So I don't do inversion tables or baptisms very well. So you are so needed. The way you come into this body of believers is through this receiving this born-again experience the Bible talks about. We're born into this body, this physical body, through our mother's womb. But we're born into Christ's body, we're reborn into Christ's body through an act of faith and trust in Christ. We say, yes, Jesus, I'm making you Lord of my life. I'm inviting you into my life. I'm inviting you to be Lord and Savior, which means I'm inviting you to make the decisions for my life, and I am going to become a Christ follower instead of an independent, self-governed, self-ruled person. So that's how you get into this body. So everybody's different, but we all have one DNA. Let me look at this parable a little bit closer. The verse 13 is a key one. It says, every member is diverse in nationality, but everyone has the same spiritual DNA. And the illustration Paul uses, he says, some are Jews, some are Gentiles, some are Pakistani, some are European, Norwegian, the best people on the planet, you know. some people. I was born from a British ancestry. My dad was British, Scottish actually, you know. He looked like kind of Winston Churchill. Had the jowls, you know. I was dead scared of him all my life, you know. He's gone on to be with Jesus now, but yeah. And then I have a 4 foot, 11 mother who's Pakistani. So, you know, I have this mixed heritage in my life. My mom's still alive, by the way. She's 91 years old. Living in a care home. But so we all come into life from different ethnicities. But there's no ethnicities in the church. We all have the same DNA. Doesn't matter where you're from in your background. You're my brother. You're my sister. Like, we are related spiritually. And we're going to spend eternity together if you've made Jesus Lord of your life. Okay, next thing. Verse 21. Let me give you another quick thought. Every member is equally important, the scripture says. So let's not get any arrogance about this thing. Okay, the eye is not more important than the ear. The lips are not any more important than the belly button. Okay, now you may not see my belly button, but it has a purpose. I haven't quite figured out what it is. Has anybody figured out what the belly... I think it's this part to do with the umbilical cord. So it's, you know, that's the thing. Okay? I don't know what the purpose of the little toe is, but when I stub it, I know it's there. You know, like I get it. Oh, there we are. We're on. All right. It's actually the next slide. Every member is equally important, and we all belong to Jesus, and we all belong to each other. So that's the important part here. I don't have an ego that says to me, I'm any better than you are. I am simply a part of this body, and my function is different. I get to speak this morning, which is probably you people could do much better at, but I'm going to do my best at it so that we all get out of here feeling encouraged, right? I get to go from church to church. There's 209 of us around this district, and people invite me into leadership settings and crisis settings, and I get to do leadership development with people. And so that's just my part of the body. Some of you can sing a lot better than I can, and you should do that and contribute to the betterment of the body. So the eye is not more important than the hand. We all need each other. In fact, look at the last line of that. The parts of the body that are weaker are more necessary. You know, have you ever figured out what your appendix need is there? I'll tell you, when it's infected, it'll tell you, you know. And so it becomes very important to take care of your body and health. Let me look, go on, okay? Verse 25, dividing the body damages, weakens, and destroys it. Because bodies aren't meant to be divided. They're not meant to be severed. And in fact, if you look at verse 25 in the scripture, it says, but God composed the body, giving greater glory to the part that lacks it, that there should be no schism. Division, separation, brokenness. Those words, if you take it back to the original language, it really is quite a deep word, that there be no schism in the body. I don't know if you've been in church a long time or if this is your first time in church, but I've been through a few churches where relationships get tense and people get mad at each other. And it's like, if you live in a strata complex, churches are a lot like that. You know, we can't agree on everything, you know, and so things go wrong and people fight. It's human nature. But you know what? It damages the body, doesn't it? You know? And unfortunately, it's the part of human nature that's the worst. And so Paul is saying here, don't let that happen to you. Every time you think about divisions in the body, take two fingers and the other two fingers, have your neighbor hold your first two and you hold the other two and pull as hard as you can. And you'll figure out how painful it is when your flesh starts ripping. Because bodies are not meant to be divided like that. It's painful. It hurts. It can cause infection. It can destroy the greater work of the body. So that's what he's saying in that part. Last one, and then I'll give you the purposes, and then we'll go have some lunch. Because that part of your body is signaling you right now. It's signaling, saying, swish chalet. Yeah, that's a prophetic word. Do you have a swish chalet here? Oh, no, you don't want to go there. Okay, yeah. Got to shop local. All right, so anyway, somewhere. Actually, your body is probably saying Dairy Queen. I can have an ice cream later today. Okay. All right, now that I've got your enzymes flowing, let me quickly get to the end of this message, all right? Let's look at this last one, verse 27. Every part must show equal concern and care for the other parts because we are one body. So schisms are spoken to by Paul, but then he talks about care, you know. I don't want to put anybody on the spot here, but, you know, I gave Bob and Darlene a hug today, and that couple up there have played such an important part in our lives, you know, from the beginning. I gave Nora a hug today. She's my newest friend in the church, and I just love her to bits. And, you know, I've just literally got to know her one day and just feel so kindredly connected to her, you know. This is the part that we can show equal concern and care for the other parts. If you're a part of a church, you know what the greatest benefit here is? That people will go to the wall for you. When you're feeling lonely, I was saying this to Pastor Ralph in the office earlier today. I think one of the greatest problems in culture today is that of loneliness. We are so connected socially, social networks, Facebook, you know, Instagram, other things, but we don't have really close friends. We are connected to a bunch of people, but we really are lonely. Who's that person that's going to show equal concern and care for you? I would hope this church would be that kind of body of Christ where you would say, hey, you know what? I think I'd like to get to know her or him. And I'd like to go out and have coffee with them every so often. And I'd like to show care and concern for you. You might be going through something horrific right now. You might be going through a relationship challenge or a marriage challenge, a health crisis, a financial crisis. You might be going through something. And if I went to this church, I'd want to be part of your equal care and concern. And so it's so important for us to be connected and not feel lonely, because our world is very isolated. Okay, closing. There's no clock in this church, so how do you know when to end? Pastor, when do you know to, when do you know to end? Okay. Oh, that's a good job. Okay, good, good. We got timers on here. All right, so I'm almost done. I'm really almost done, and then we'll do some prayer together. So if you think about the picture of the church, then you think about this parable about fingers and noses and ears and all the rest of it and how we all function together. I landed on one thing at the very end of this message. What's the purpose? Like, what is the purpose for our body, and what is our purpose as the body of Christ? Surely we must have some sense of purpose. So here's what I figured out. Now I'm going to a different passage altogether. So if you take your Bible and switch over a few books, I don't know what the page number is. Someone could help me. Hebrews chapter 10. So it's a little further from 1636. It's a few books over. But Hebrews chapter 10 is an amazing scripture. In verse 23, it says, it gives us kind of the clue of what the purpose of this body is. Number one, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. Now, that's a fantastic scripture, because what it says to us is that we have hope, first of all, that he, Jesus, who promised us salvation is going to be faithful, and he's coming back for us. And so your destiny is not the end of this life. Your destiny is eternal life. So that's great. Verse 24, it says, and let us consider how we might spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the capital D day, not the D day, not that D day, but the other D day, coming. And that's the return of Christ. Jesus is coming back. He rose from the dead, okay? So he's alive. He is currently preparing for a return. And he's coming back for believers, for followers of Christ. So here's the purposes that I've kind of extracted from there. Number one, the reason we have this body is to prevent the spiritual drift in our lives. Okay? And where I find that is verse 22. Let us draw near to God with sincere heart, with a sincere heart, and a full assurance that faith brings. You know, I've been in and out of church in my life. There was a time I got fed up with church, the body of Christ. There was a time I became very skeptical of the church. I thought it was just a bunch of hypocrisy. Institutionalism. Our culture kind of has this disdain toward religious institutions, you know, because they don't understand what the body is supposed to be like. It's they get a kind of a false image of the body, distorted. You know, have you ever been to like a resort in Mexico and they have that guy on the beach doing caricatures? Have you seen those? Like they take your basic features and then they characterize it. And you get this image of yourself that's not really true, but you can see a little bit of it. That's kind of what the world outside the church looks upon the church and says, that's a caricature. It's not real. It's exaggerated. So, yeah, do churches fight? Yeah, they do. But that's the, you know, the caricature of what it really is like. It's supposed to be built on unity and trust. So people have a different image of Christ, and what happens is they tend to drift. Spiritually, they drift away. They get tired. They get cynical. You know, some people can't go to church anymore because they've been hurt by a church or they've been hurt by somebody in the church. And so that drift happens. And the purpose of the body of Christ is to see, wait a minute, I haven't been really recognizing my baby toe lately. I must recognize it and care for it. Okay, and so you go, the body then pays extra attention to that part that's drifting away and says, hey, come back. You're my sister. You belong. You're my brother. Come back. I don't want you to drift away because it'll damage the part of the body. Second purpose is to spur one another on to love and good deeds. Do you like that word spur? How many of you are horseback riders? All right, one, two, okay. I am not. However, I did pastor in Summerland. okay, in the Okanagan. And I had a really good friend who loved horses. And one day, I'm the city slicker kind of guy, and he goes, Ken, we're going to get you on the back of a horse, and you're going to love it. And I go, okay, good, let's go, you know. So he gave me these leathers and spurs, and, you know, like, I don't think I could use the spurs, and I don't think they were sharp. They were kind of more decorative than anything. But, you know, I bent over to tie something, and I did spur myself. Still got the scar to prove it. But, you know, I got onto this horse, and everything was really good as we're going along until I did end up accidentally jabbing the thing, you know, with the back end of my... And the thing just took off. Like, it just went flying. And I lost the reins. So here I am holding onto the horse around the neck, you know, and we're, like, going through, you know, down this little trail on the Kettle River railroad tracks, and Brady is like a little bit ahead of me, and Dave is behind me, and here my horse just takes off, and it goes past Brady, and he's going, wait a minute, we're supposed to be just trotting along, you're not racing, are you? And then he realized, wait, I'd lost the reins, and I was holding onto the neck for dear life. So finally, he actually caught up and rescued me, otherwise I'd be off in the valley somewhere, you know. But this word spur is an interesting word. It actually means, if you really take it back, it talks about impelling, compelling, prodding, provoking someone on. Not in the bad way. Because we can provoke people negatively. This is actually telling us, provoke or spur to love and good deeds. It's saying, come on, everybody. We can be better than this. We can be the best church body in all of Saanich because of our love. Because we want people to see our love and our care and our compassion. We want to encourage people all the more because Jesus is coming back. So what does it mean? Every member of this body needs to do something in order to get connected to somebody who's either drifting away or isn't part of this body. So this is the word that he lands on. The word spur is paroxmos, which is to provoke, to prod, to incite, to rouse up, to stir up, to stimulate good deeds. Not to hurt, not to damage, not to provoke to anger and resentment. That's not the kind he's talking about here. He's saying, let's be people of encouragement. You know how I know that? Because of the very next verse, and I'll close with this. When a pastor says, I'll close with this, it means I got 9 more points. So hang on. Okay, no, I'm just kidding. I am actually going to be done with this point. Pastor, you can hold me accountable to this, okay? Ready? Verse 25. Not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another all the more until you see the day approaching. So he's basically saying here, strengthen one another with encouragement. Be that kind of person that is an encouraging voice. We had a lady in my church when I pastored at Surrey. We were in a building program, built a large church downtown Surrey. And her name was Mary. Mary Wassenaar. She was Dutch. Okay, not Norwegian, but Dutch. And she had cancer, and we were building this huge building, and she would come in her wheelchair to the site while everybody was working on the site. And she's the lady that, I think I've said this to you before, she would say, Pastor, if you ain't Dutch, you ain't much. Yeah, you know, so that's true. That is true. So if you're Dutch, you're it. Okay, so anyway, she would roll up to the site, and she said, I can't pull nails, I can't clean the work site. What can I do, Pastor? And I said, well, Mary, you know what you can do from your wheelchair? You can write out words of encouragement, cards of encouragement. So we, as a church, would buy her those, you know, Costco boxes of encouragement cards, 100 at a time. She would handwrite cards to everybody and post-mail them to all the workers in the site, the volunteers. Thank you for building our church. Generations will come to know Christ through this facility, you know. And she would do something to encourage other people on until the day of Christ's return. I love Mary. She's up in heaven, and I'm going to go see her someday. So, I'm going to close. Stand with me. Music team, would you come? Could we sing that song, You Say? I hope I'm not putting you up on the spot there, but it's such an important song. So what kind of church do you want to be? What kind of body do you want to be? I would suggest to you that We need to be the kind of people that draw near to God, the kind of people that motivate and challenge each other, because that's what a body does. We motivate, we challenge, we spur one another on to love and good deeds. And I would think that we would want to be the kind of church that encourages each other. I'm going to ask you to just bow your head for a moment, close your eyes. I just sense in my heart that when you walked into this church, some of you, not all of you, came in here with some discouragement. And no one looking around, because it's kind of embarrassing, but I'm going to ask you, are you discouraged today? And if you are, can you just wave at me, just glancing up in the balcony, just wave at me from the balcony if you're discouraged, because I'm going to pray for you. Down here on the main floor, thank you, I see that, thank you, thank you. Anyone else, thank you. The sincerity. If you're discouraged, thank you. Feeling discouraged, feeling lonely, thank you. Mm-hmm. Thanks for your honesty. Thanks for your transparency. Nothing to be embarrassed about. We all go through that. So Lord, my friends are in this room, and I love these people so much. I'm just praying right now that you will bring encouragement, that you will bring joy. Lord, some of the people in this room are facing extreme circumstances, challenges that they never thought they were going to experience. Life has brought to them circumstances that are painful, brokenness, confusion, loneliness. Lord, we need you. We need to belong. Just like the sign says on the front of this church, we need to belong. And so I just pray so tenderly right now for everyone that raised their hand. You saw their hand. Not only did you see their hand, you see their circumstances. And right now, in the power of Jesus' name, I pray you would meet them in a significantly powerful way. As we sing this song together, help us to hear you. In Jesus' name.